Good morning. Happy Father's Day. I hope you're having a great time as a family and indeed as fathers. Amen. In 1992, my dad passed on on Easter holidays, and I'd been a Christian not too long. And at the time, I began to question, why was I born? Because my bond with my dad was so close. And his departure was difficult. I spent, I think, about a year or two trying to figure that out. I used to call those years the days of feeling cold. I just felt cold about life. And it's then that I began, I was a disciple, but it's then that I began the journey of connecting with my Father in heaven. That made a difference in my life. I came to church, but I was a guy that came and said hi and sat and smiled. And I didn't want anything beyond that. So for me, Father's Day is a day that really comes as a day to remember who my father was and how that changed, how I made that change as I connected to the reality that my real father was God. And it's true, we love our fathers, but one day they go. Or one day you move out of the house and you have to connect with Father in heaven as well as your father here. And if the connection is not great, I hope you get encouraged and you are encouraged with the video you watched today that your Father in heaven is bigger than everything. Amen? So this morning, as I talk about that, I'd like to talk about just building your faith in God. Last week, we spoke about what kills our faith. And I hope that that helped you to think about that and make some changes. So this morning, I'd like to talk about how do you build your faith. So the question is, where do you stand as far as your faith goes? There are many answers to that. But this morning, I want to talk to you about building your faith. It does not just happen. And I know that we say, in Romans 10:17, unless you hear the word of God, you cannot develop faith. And that's a paraphrase of all that. But I also understand that you can be hearing the word of God and not still have faith. That's possible. So how do we then make this journey of building faith that is real, meaningful, and connecting to our mind, heart, soul, and strength? So that it's not just a story we hear in church, a good story that we identify with, or not even identify with, agree with mentally, but never connect to the extent of growth. And when we say building faith and growing faith, what does that mean to you? I hope I can convince you somehow to begin to make that journey. The mustard seed faith. Let's start there. Mustard seed faith. The story of, you know, let's see what he says here in Luke 17:3-6. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to say to you and say, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it will obey you. We read the scriptures and sometimes we get confused. We question our faith. So is my faith real? If I cannot uproot a tree, is my faith real? Well, the issue is this. At this point, Jesus was telling them about their faith, and it was about if a brother sins against you 7 times and 7 times comes back and speaks to you and says, forgive them, forgive him. Now, I don't think that somebody sins to you 7 times a day and keeps coming back. I don't think that happens. That's not really the point. The point is that forgiveness is a big factor of our faith as well. Yeah. Forgiveness is a big factor of our faith as well. It's hard to develop faith when you have unfinished stuff in your heart. And church, this morning, we're going to talk about it. One of the relationships that really destroys human beings is your relationship with your father. If it doesn't connect well, it can mess you for the rest of your life. It gets in the way of authority. It gets in the way of faith. It gets in the way of just understanding life. And yet God, Jesus tells them, if they come and they sin against you Seven times, come and they say, forgive me. Forgive them. You see, if you don't deal with issues of heart and conflict, it's hard to forgive. But it says, forgive them. And then the apostle says, increase our faith. Because what holds human beings back so much is when we've been hurt. And that's what holds your faith back. Now we say, I forgive the person. We say that, but never let go of the pain. Then it morphs into all kinds of things. Addiction, it morphs into fear, it morphs in not trusting God, it morphs in not trusting anybody, not trusting men, not trusting any figure of authority. It morphs into all kinds of things because we never let go of the pain. And really gets in the way of your relationship with God. We forget to let go. And that's where Jesus was telling the apostles, let go and forgive. Now, daddies are not perfect. I am one. I have to apologize to my children more and more. When they were younger, I guess I had the authority, I just said it. Now they're growing older, I need to apologize, I need to influence. And that change happens as they come up into their teenage and keep going into their 20s and forever. And then when the apostles asked Jesus, increase our faith, it's interesting what he says. He says, he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, the smallest seed back then, you can say it to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will. So what is faith for you? Is it this thinking we think, okay, I need to increase, I got to believe, and we keep psyching ourselves and thinking, if I just have faith, it'll move. I don't think that's what it is. It says, as little as a mustard seed. It's whether you simply believe. Simple. Is that simple? Do you believe God? Is that simple? Do you believe who God is? Do you believe when he says that if you believe, this will work? You see, this belief is one that convinces you beyond reasonable doubt, beyond any doubt that God is God. When he speaks, it'll be true. So many of us, the way we think of faith, is we have structured it. It's a construct of, okay, I have to believe. That means I have to stop doubting. I have to stop thinking like this. Instead of saying, you know what, God, when you say, it's good enough. What do you trust? Do you trust your bank? What do you trust? Anybody that has something else you trust so much, what do you trust? Do you trust your home? You'll go home and you'll find the house there. Do you trust that? What do you trust? Your eyes. Do you trust what you see? Do you trust your skin? It'll protect you. But do you ever think about it in terms of faith? Do you ever think about that my skin will protect me in terms of faith? We never think like that, do we? We think in terms of fact. We don't think in terms of faith. And so when God says, have faith and as small as a mustard seed, we wonder, why that? Because if we just trusted God, that when you say it's done, not complicated stories, when you say it's done, it changes everything. You know, when you play with a baby, and I've seen young babies, and you throw them up in the air, do they think you'll not catch them? Do they think? No. They trust, right? Let me say today I had some strength to hold Steve Coya and throw him up in the air. First of all, just before that happened, I'd be saying, hold on, Steve, are you out of your mind? We might check, what are you trying to do? You see how it goes? Not because it's a bad person, and because of how, as we age, certain things become very hard to comprehend. We get away from the simplicity of our faith and complicate it. As we age, the simplicity of it is hard to comprehend, so we go for the complicated version. And it's so simple. It just says, as small as a mustard seed. Answers are so simple. Now, we are actually a society that is lost in being complicated people. And the answer is so simple. Do you believe as small as a mustard seed? Do you believe that little? God will move the rest. You don't have to figure out everything. You need to believe that God can do that. And then the rest works out. But in our world, we construct this. How is that going to work? Well, God wants you to trust him. In our world, it's almost foolish to trust God. And yet, more and more, I hear people talk about their dreams, and I see they're coming back to this very same principle that if you just trust God, if you trust God and walk with that, God will work it out. So my point is on this is that you don't need to figure out every little thing. You need to simply trust God, a faith as small as a mustard seed, and things will start moving forward. You know how they domesticate elephants in India, right? They start when they're very small, tying them on the leg, little threads, not something big. And they quickly learn that they cannot pull away from that, shekels. Then this huge animal, the biggest animal mammal on earth, not in the sea, the biggest, grows to tons of weight. Huge animal. It can lift anything. But now it's domesticated. And with that little chain, at night they leave it on a small chain because it pulls and remembers, oh, I can't pull away from that, and stays there. If it only knew the potential, it would pull away. Would that be your story this morning? What is a chain in your life? What has stolen your simple faith to the extent that you are made in the image of God and can do immeasurably more than you can imagine, and yet you hold yourself down with that simple fact of logic? That because logically it doesn't hold, God then, for some reason, God can't function. It's a construct. It's a construct of God in your mind, limited by the way you think. You're limiting God by the way you think. He's beyond your construct. He created you and more people. So everything we're holding back on is for the fact of how we think. It's that simple. Believe, as small as a mustard seed, it'll change. It changes your life. Whether it's changing your marriage, whether it's changing how you parent, whether it's changing if you want to meet someone that is open, whether it's anything can change, but you've got to have faith as small as a mustard seed. When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. That was the apostles' problem. They got to a place where they were not able to change the other guy who was sinning seven times a day. Now it was their turn to change. So then here lies the challenge of faith. Faith is about us changing and trusting God and not waiting for the way we approach many things. We wait for the situation to change. Oh no, it is us changing and coming to a place of belief that God can change the unchangeable. And half the time it's not the situation changing, it's you growing and having a faith that says, you know what, I can overcome this. So when we pray and listen to your prayers, most likely you ask God to change the situation. That's why the faith stays stagnant, the same, unmoving. But if you continue to ask that God, I got to rise above the occasion, and God will show you how to rise above the occasion, but you got to believe that and get into the Word, get talking, getting help, you'll see that you begin to change. Amen. You're waiting for something to change. Change is on you. You're waiting society to change. Change is on you. Society is not changing. You're waiting your boss to change. That's not going to happen. You got to change and become the transition person. You're the man with faith. You're the woman with faith. But you've got to look at you and see that you need God. Secondly, what is the object of your faith? What is the object of your faith? When Harold was preaching this morning, he's like, you might think we spoke about it, but no, we didn't speak, so the Spirit was working. What is your object of faith? In the 21st century, today, is the object of faith can be money. It's big. If your account is fine, you feel happy, you feel secure, safe. Right? For most people. For some of us, it's how we look. It's how I look. Whether I look nice, beautiful, handsome. That can be your object of faith. For some of us, it's popularity. Who knows me? Who doesn't know me? Can be your object of faith. For some of us, it can be just cars, homes. These things are not evil. It's when they become an object of faith that they get in the way of your relationship with God. That's when things go wrong. When we invite that worship, idols walk into our lives. How does that change? Well, we got to read Matthew 19, 24, 26. And it says here, again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With a man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I would like you to think about that. Now, when you think about the way they were thinking about that, there was a rich young man who came along and said that. And sometimes we read this scripture and go off and says, that means it's not good to be rich in the church. I'm not sure that's true. Because Job was a wealthy guy. Was he not wealthy? I mean, Job was wealthy. David, all these guys were wealthy. They're in the Bible. So it's how they handled that was the issue. It's how they handled it. So I don't think we should be saying it's wrong to be wealthy. I'm not saying that. Get me right on this one. But there are lessons to get from this. It's not about wealth issues. But it's how that can get in the way sometimes. And that's why I ask the question, what is your object of faith? What if you're trying to come to church and your car failed? Would you come? For some reason today I was driving and I realized I'm about 10 miles away from here. And I said, so I was calculating in my head, if I was going to walk to church, what time would I have left my house? I just thought about it, you know. I don't know why this, I guess, thoughts cross your mind. And I thought, okay, so I would have left what time? Would I need a tie? You know, I may just walk. And I thought of myself, are there things that if they left your life today, you would struggle to survive as a Christian? What would that be? Now, in the 21st century, I'm not seeing you guys losing cars. They're only going to get better. So that's just the truth, okay? Don't worry about that. But is there anything in your life that is an object of faith that you struggle with? You don't seem to connect with God when that is not in place. What is that? That needs to be put in its order so that God comes in place. Now, nothing is impossible with God. I don't think he was saying that being wealthy was the wrong thing. He was just saying that if we get God as a priority, we all can do what God wants us to do. Now, some things take a long time to change, but you still need to keep the faith. You have to keep the faith. If you read the story of Job, it took a while there. That struggle was a long one, but he kept the faith. The Bible says it became better after that, right? It's just, you have to ask yourself, are you ready to stay with God even when it's not adding up for you? Because that always is a question. If you only stay with God because it adds up, most likely it's the object you have switched and you have another object that you worship. It's not God. What if when God says, wait? Or what if God says, no, it's not going to happen? What happens? We throw a tantrum, forget it, it doesn't work for me. And then we switch God and take on addictions. Because if you're not with God, you're going to take on addiction to deal with that. You're going to find a way of overworking, overdoing something. You're going to take on an addiction. Something is going to come into place. Drugs, something is going to play into that place. But if you come back to God, you may find that people that went through the most difficult challenges in life, the first quote I had was Viktor Frankl, a guy that was put in Nazi chambers and survived that and moved to the States and taught a lot about that. It's a good book to read, A Meaning. I mean, he talks about meaning for life in his book. It's an amazing story. And you ask yourself, how is that possible? How can you be put in such a place and come out such a good person? Anything is possible with God. That's the question. What is impossible in your life? It is only a construct of your mind. If you begin to read the scriptures and begin to let go of those objects and come back to God, you realize anything is possible with God. It's an amazing place to be because you're not afraid. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. It's counter the way we think, counter logic, counter the way we really see life. But you have to see that God can do this. It's a miracle. I mean, there are miracles every day, but because we can explain that, it stopped being a miracle because we explain it away. It's a miracle to have a child, but we can explain how that happens. The cells are taking place. Oh, now it's no longer a miracle. It is. If you think about what can go wrong, it's a miracle to just so many things. It's a miracle that you got here, irrespective of so many drivers that were driving on the road, some of them crazy, but you still got here. It's a miracle, right? We don't, because we live in a place that functions so well, we don't take time to think about the miracles. And yet, you have to think like that to develop faith. You have to begin to say, you know, how would God fix this? Believe and the impossible becomes possible. I mean, let's just take life as it is. The guy that designed light, Thomas Edison, is that right? Ran how many experiments? About 1,000? Is that right? And think about it. He had to believe that it can function. How we fly, somebody had to think like that. Now, that's just science. What about your life? What about your life? What is it that holds you back? About God moving with you, walking with you, in the neighborhood, at work. What is it that holds you back? It's your faith. It's how you see people. It's all that. Finally, but not least, I know the fathers need to get out and get some food. Now let's get this done first. How visible is your faith? How visible is your faith? In other words, can we look at your life and say you're a faithful person? Or can we look at it and just say, well, he just blends in with everybody else? How is it? Okay. Some man came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. Now remember, there were synagogue rulers and all kind of teachers that Jesus was talking to. These were important people in society back then. Then you show up with a very sick person. You see that? And they could see that they could not go through. And so they come, they can go through, and they figured, okay, we're going to go through the roof. That's quite ingenious, but quite disruptive as well. Because you're pulling up the walls and the teachers are sitting there, the synagogue rulers, and they're like, what? Are we all right? In today's world, we think terrorists are coming in. Yeah, I would start calling the police and all that. Anyway, but what Jesus says here is that your faith, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. And I think that when you're faithful, you stop worrying too much about how will I look? Yeah. What will people say about me? And it's big in our society today. We are so afraid about how will I look, what will people say about me. Now, I'm not asking for us being narcissistic in our behavior. I'm just asking that you really ask yourself, are you really focused on God? Is your faith visible? Is God seeing how you walk with that? Does that function for you? Now, I'm not saying that you go out there to prove your faith. I'm just saying that that needs to be a part of your culture, your way of living, that your faith is visible in how you live. Yeah. It's not proving to people, not proving to men. It's about you're in need and you know that God can do this and you go to God. You see, if you don't have that desire to go to God, you get stuck with logic. You get stuck with logic. Now, I say this with, and I want you to understand this, that when you're living a faithful life, it's obvious. It's obvious because People can look at you and say, you're ordinary, but you're doing extraordinary stuff. It's obvious because you're joyful. It's obvious because you have the strength and the energy to keep going in places that most people give up. Amen. It's obvious because it can only be God that drives that kind of passion. That can only be God that drives that kind of change in you. It can only be God that gives you the strength to keep going, even when most people would give up. See, that's the power of God. You know, when I think of Rick, and I've only known him for about 4 months, the brother, our brother who went to be with the Lord, it's amazing how he tackled that cancer. Even as 2 weeks ago, he was still making jokes. And I said to myself, that is visible faith. Now, the human being would say, but he's gone. I said, well, we're all going. It's just how. Nobody's permanent, people. And I would hate to be here forever. This world gets too crazy. I think this. I like to go to this time. I've been around a long time. It's good to see everyone. See you on the other side. After a while, you don't want to be around these things for too long. But he had faith. It was visible. You looked at him and you said, this man is a man of faith. He touched you. Your life can touch other people by the way you live. This morning, everybody's in church somewhere saying Jesus is Lord. But, and amen, I don't want to judge anyone. I want to talk about the what will your faith be like this week. What will your faith be like this week? It is impossible, said pride. It's risky, said experience. It's pointless, said reason. Give a try, whispered the heart. And I'll put the heart, whispered faith. It's impossible, said pride. Nothing is impossible. Not with God. We've given up, settled, tired, and hoped. We are in. Don't settle. Even if you're in your 50s, don't settle. Amen. Have faith in God. Even if you're in the 60s, don't settle. But it's sad. People are settling at 16. Teens, don't settle. People are settling at 20s. Why are you settling? There's much more to give to life. Amen. To give to people. To hear God. And so that God can use you. It's risky, said experience. I'd rather risk with God any day than with myself. It's pointless, said reason. Some of the logic we have holds us from God. Let me finish here. The person who says something is impossible should not interrupt the person who is doing it. I want to end here. Sometimes people are trying to get things done, get ourselves so that God may use everyone. We are busy interrupting it. Please, come along. Stop stopping the people that want to make change. God bless you.
Amen. This has been an amazing worship service thus far. And as we get ready to close out, we do just want to remind everyone, if you're visiting with us today, that we will not be here next Sunday. We will all be worshiping together with all of our brothers and sisters around the Atlanta area at 3 p.m. Amen. And that's going to be at Mount Carmel Church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. So if you're visiting, whomever you came out with, please, please get the information and come worship with us again next week as well. At this time, I'm going to pray. We're going to have one closing song, and that'll conclude our worship service this morning. Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for the word that we heard today, God. I pray that our faith has been increased. Because we've heard your word this morning, God. Help us to be the men and women that you've called us to be, God, so that we may represent you the way that, God, you deserve. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise. Father, in all these things we ask and pray in your holy and precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.